So this week, Parashat Kitisa, as well the maftir for this week's parasha is Parashat Para, the Shabbat right after Purim. So let's start with a few questions, and then we're gonna answer them. We're gonna tie everything in with a Yesod, Bezrat Hashem. So in the Sidur, you find at the end of Shacharit, there is what's called Eser Zechirot. Eser Zechirot are the 10 remembrances. Okay? Basically, there are 10 times in the Torah that the Torah commands us to remember something. Okay? One of them, the most famous one, which is a mitzvah d'oraita, according to many poskim, is what? Is Amalek. Is to remember Amalek. That was last Shabbat that we were mekayem this mitzvah. How did we remember Amalek? By reading the portion of the Torah that discusses when Amalek came to wage war against us when we left Mitzrayim. And there are 9 other ones. One of them is what takes place in this week's parasha. It's the sin of the golden calf. The sin, the cheta egel. It's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, went up to the mountain to receive the Torah. And in the interim, the Jews who were below the mountain, they created and they formed a golden calf and they started worshipping it. And it was a horrible, terrible sin. And we have a mitzvah to remember that sin that we did, how we angered Hashem, we angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the desert, specifically in that time. So my question is as follows. There is a halacha that someone who was not religious and then became religious, he's what's called a Baal Tshuva, okay? You are not allowed, or even a convert. There's a halakha, it's a law. You're not allowed to go to him and remind him of his past, of his history, of his background. Why? Because it would be very embarrassing for him. You can't tell him, hey, you remember back in the day when you used to do X, Y, and Z with those people? Remember, I know you changed now, Baruch Hashem, but remember you used to do those things? You're not allowed to do that. Why? It's embarrassing for the person. He wants to forget about his past. He did tshuva already. That's in his past. Why do you have to bring it up? So the question is, we have an obligation, we have a mitzvah to constantly remind ourselves of the sin of the golden calf. We did tshuva. And Hashem forgave us for it. So Hashem commanded us to remember it and to always mention it every day. To mention the time that we sinned with the cheta egel, with the golden calf, isn't that very depressing for us? It's very deflating for us. What's going on with this? This week we have again, as we explained, we have the maftir of Paraduma. What's the maftir of Paraduma? It's the portion of the Torah that discusses the laws of the red heifer, the paraduma. When was the red heifer needed? When was the paraduma needed? Yeah. It was needed when a person became contaminated by touching a dead body. That is the highest level of tuma, of contamination. And the only way to purify oneself is by taking this paraduma, this red cow, okay? You slaughter it, take its ashes, mix it with water, sprinkle it on the dead person. Really bizarre turn of events. And in some way, he becomes pure. Okay, that's not for now. We're not going to go into that. Actually, it's called a chok. A chok is a law. But it's a type of law that we don't understand the reason for it. There is a reason, but we don't understand it. Shlomo HaMelech said, he was Chacham Mikol Adam, he was the smartest person to ever live. He himself said that he does not understand the mitzvah, the paraduma. He doesn't understand it. So the fact that you don't understand it shouldn't bother you so much. Anyways, that's the paraduma. The Midrash says something amazing. The Midrash says that the paraduma, this command for us, this teaching of the laws of the paraduma, of this red heifer, and all the laws and bringing it as a korban, is a kapara, is an atonement for what? For the cheta egel, for the sin of the golden calf. And the words of the midrash say that tavo ha'em v'tekaneach tzoat bena. let the mother come and clear up the excrement of its child. Right? What's the mother of a calf?
It's a semi-sharp knife.
What animal is the mother of a calf?
It's considered a knife.
What's a no? What's the mother of a calf? Para, a cow. A cow, right? A cow's child is a calf, a baby cow, right? So the Midrash is saying, let the mother come, let the mother cow come, and clear up the excrement of its child, of the calf. Meaning, there was a sin that was done with the calf. Let the mother, the cow, meaning what? Paraduma, come and atone, attain atonement for Bnei Israel for the sin of the golden calf. That's what the Midrash says. What in the world does that mean? How in the world is the mitzvah paraduma a kapara for what? For the sin of the golden calf, for the cheta egel. To the extent that some poskim actually say that reading the parasha of parashat para, which is actually this Shabbat in the Maftir, we're going to read the portion in the Torah that discusses paraduma. Some poskim say it's a mitzvah doraita. It's a mitzvah doraita, mitzvah min haTorah. You have to really, really read it and read it in the most kosher sefer Torah, just like Parashat Zachor. And when asked the question as to what the source in the Torah is for reading the paraduma, so some poskim say, I'll tell you the source, because since there's an obligation to read, there's an obligation to remember the maaseh cheta egel, as we just explained, Hashem commanded us, you have to remember the cheta egel, and it's not respectful for the Bnei Israel to mention, to always remember the Cheta Egel. So a way of remembering the Cheta Egel is to read the parasha of Paraduma. Why? Because that was the atonement, that was the remedy for the sin of the golden calf. So in some way you're doing a mitzvah d'oraita of remembering the Maaseh Egel, the Cheta Egel, by reading the parasha of Paraduma. Okay, that's a pshat of how those poskim understand it. But again, what is this connection between the paraduma and the cheta egel? How in the world does the paraduma achieve atonement for the Bnei Israel for the cheta egel, such a severe sin? And what's the connection between them? So like this. Imagine there's a couple. They've been dating for X amount of time. Finally came the time that they're walking down the aisle to the chuppah, under the chuppah. They're both under the chuppah. The rabbi is coming. He makes the bracha, borei pri hagefen, under the chuppah. They're about to get married. He's about to step on the glass. Until she says what? Hold on 1 second. She turns to the spouse, the husband's best friend, and says, you know, I always had feelings for you. And you know, I always kept it a secret, but I can't hold it any longer. I want to marry you instead. I don't want to marry my husband. I want to marry you instead. And she runs off with this guy. And they run off. They go and steal the limousine that was waiting outside for them. And they run off and they go away. How devastating is that for the chatan that's under the chuppah? His wife just left him.
I don't know, he should be happy that it happened before, not happened.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Okay, but it's a devastating turn of events. Devastating, right? Devastating. And then if after 2 weeks and they go and you know, we don't have to go into detail. After a couple of weeks, she comes back and she says, you know what? I'm sorry. Are you going to be so quick to take her back? No way. You kidding me? You see what you just did? You embarrassed me in front of everyone at our wedding. At her chuppah, you left me for my best friend? How can you do such a thing? Disgusting. I don't know about you, but I would never forgive her. As much as I love her, that's something that's very hard to forgive. Right there, when I'm with her, she leaves. So then, now you understand how severe of a sin it was for the Bnei Israel to go and do the and worship the golden calf. Okay, Hashem is right there. The Chazal say that Hashem came down to the mountain of Har Sinai. The Shekhinah came down to the mountain. The Bnei Israel saw Hashem. And right then and there, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, and was about to get the Torah, was about to receive the Torah, they went and they said, you know what? Let's go worship the golden calf. Horrible. Horrible thing. Horrible thing. That's what we did to Hashem. We cheated on Hashem. Chas v'shalom. That's how low we went. But there's another way to look at it. At the end of the day, did Hashem forgive us or not? Hashem forgave us, right? So this whole episode of us worshipping the golden calf and then Hashem giving us forgiveness, there's another way to look at it. It's the ultimate display of how much Hashem loves us. Think about it. We went so low. We reached such a low. We did such a disgusting move. As they say, we pulled such a jerk move. And we just left. We betrayed Hashem in front of Him. And Hashem still forgives us. That shows how much Hashem loves us. Wow, does Hashem love us. That He will always forgive us. He will always find a way to forgive us. So actually mentioning the episode of the Chet HaEgel, you're right, it brings up, you know, something bitter in our past. A very terrible sin that we have done. But at the same time, it also reminds us what? How much Hashem loves us. And that despite the fact that we did such a horrible sin, and we reached such a low, Hashem said, you know what, I still love you and I will still forgive you. That's why there is a mitzvah, that's why Hashem says there's a mitzvah for you to mention every single day, to remember the Chet HaEgel, to remember the sin of the golden calf. Why? Because I want to remind you of your past. Because I want to remind you of the sins that you have done. No! Because I want to remind you how much I love you. Because I want to remind you that despite such a horrible sin, I still forgave you. That means that's how much I love you. That's how much I love you. And that's why the mitzvah of Parah Aduma acted as an atonement for the Chet HaEgel. Why? Because again, like we explained, the Parah Aduma is something that brought purity to a person who became contaminated. But what kind of person became contaminated? Person who became contaminated by touching a dead body. That's the lowest type, the most severe type of contamination. It's the lowest you can go. And the Parah Aduma comes and says, don't worry. Even though you've reached such a low, even though you are so contaminated, you are so tameh, I could still make you tahor, I could still make you pure. So Hashem is saying, as low as you go, I'll still find a way to forgive you through the power of tshuva. Through the power of tshuva, I'll still find a way to forgive you. That's why we mention the Chet HaEgel, because it reminds us how Hashem loves us. That's why the Parah Aduma acted as what? As an atonement, as a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. How does all of this work? You ever think about how this works? How we did such a horrible sin and Hashem still finds a way to forgive us? It still doesn't make any sense to me. But with the words of the Maharal, the holy Maharal, we can understand this. What does the Maharal say? The Maharal explains why there's a certain type of sacrifice called the Korban Chatat. Basically a sacrifice that you bring to try to achieve atonement for a sin that you have done. Okay? You did a sin. You stole. Whatever it was, you stole. You mechalal Shabbat. You didn't keep Shabbat. Beshogeg. With negligence. You go to the Beit HaMikdash, you bring a korban, you bring a sacrifice, and you're wiped clean. Somehow. The halacha is that a goy, a non-Jew, is not allowed to bring a korban chatat. Why not? Says the Maharal, he gives a mashal. Because let's say you take a white undershirt, okay? Take a white undershirt, has a little stain on it. You put it in the washing machine. You put some laundry detergent. It's going to come out. Is the stain going to be on it or not? No, it's going to come out clean. The shirt is white. It went in with a stain. It came out without a stain. Yeah. Now, let's say you take a black shirt or a dark shirt, a colored shirt. You say, I'm putting this in the washing machine, I want it to become white. You put it in the washing machine. You take it, you put laundry detergent. You take it out. What color is it going to be?
Black.
Black. It's going to stay black. It's going to stay orange. It's going to stay red. Whatever color it was, it's going to stay. It's not going to come out white. Why? Because this shirt is a white shirt. And it just has a little dirt on it externally. And therefore, when you put it into the washing machine, it clears off the dirt which is external to the shirt. And this shirt is a red shirt. Internally, it's red. On its own, it's red. Its color, its stains, is not external to it. It's a part of it. So the Maharal explains, a Jew, a neshama, when he does a sin, the sin is not a part of his neshama. It's external to his neshama. So therefore, when you go to the Beit HaMikdash, you bring a korban, it's like going into the washing machine. You're washing it off. The sin comes off. It's like a stain. The sin comes off. Why? Because it's not a part of you. A goy, to bring a korban, and goes to the Beit HaMikdash, it's like taking a red shirt and putting it in the washing machine. It's going to come out red. The korban's not going to do anything to it. Why? Because intrinsically, he is not pure like a Jew is. Intrinsically, internally, a Jew is pure, a goy is not pure. So that's why we have this concept of tshuva, where magically, somehow, despite any sin that we can do, that we could possibly do, we go to Hashem, we do a proper tshuva, we say, Hashem, I'm embarrassed about what I did. I don't want to do it anymore. I accept upon myself that in the future I'm going to stop doing it. You take these acts, and you say, Hashem, please forgive me. Hashem forgives you. Why you did such a horrible sin? You betrayed Hashem. You cheated on Hashem. But it's external to you. Hashem says it's external to you. It's not a part of you. So therefore I could forgive you. I'm not upset at you. I'm upset at the sin that you did. I'm upset at the action that you did. I'm not upset at you. You're pure. Your neshama is pure. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can find the way to forgive us. So therefore, going back to the beginning, we have this mitzvah of remembering the Masa Egel, of remembering the Chet HaEgel. Why? Because it reminds us of the severity of the sin that we did, and despite that, the atonement that we received because of the tshuva that we did. And that's why the mitzvah of the Paraduma is an atonement on the Chet HaEgel. Because despite the loneliness that a person reaches through coming in contact with someone who is with a dead body, which is the lowest type of contamination, despite that, you could still reach purity through the Paraduma. That's the same concept as the Chet HaEgel. And that's why most years, Parashat Ki Tisa, which the Chet HaEgel is in Parashat Ki Tisa, this week's Parashah, most years it's also the same as, we also read Parashat Paran that week. Because there's a direct connection between them. Okay? Kadosh Baruch Hu should grant us, should help us understand that all the Averot are external to us. And therefore we should never hesitate from doing tshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu will always accept our tshuva. And we should always remember how much Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. That we should always remember how severe that Avera was, and despite that, how much Hashem loves us, and that Hashem still found a way to forgive us. And bizchut this, we should... Bizochet, geulah, shlema, ve'amitit, b'mehra, ve'amenu, amen.